Welcome to show number 52 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. Hello and welcome to the program today, folks. Hopefully everybody's doing good out there. Lots to talk about today. Lots of product to run down. Actually, three of them to be specific. But we've got an interview in our first segment with Chris from the Football Card Collector Podcast. And you can find that podcast, obviously, on iTunes and at ChristopherChapman.com. So we'll talk with Chris a little bit about his podcast, a little bit about his collection, and a little bit about some other things. So definitely a very enjoyable interview, and I think you'll enjoy that, and you'll definitely enjoy trying to find his podcast and downloading that and hopefully enjoying that right along with our podcast and CardCornerClub.net. So you've got three to choose from, and we've brought them all to you on Sports Card Radio. So hopefully that lets you guys have even more podcasts to choose from as you're making your decisions on what to buy. And that kind of goes along with our next segment after the interview. We'll be talking about three different products. We'll probably give them each their own segment. 2010 Bowman Baseball has been out for the last, definitely came live today on Wednesday, May 12th. By the time you listen to this, it's definitely out, and it may or not be at Target, may be sold out. Collectors are very excited about this set, so we'll talk about Bowman Baseball, some of the cards in there, and the difference between the hobby box and the jumbo box. And we'll talk about Panini Timeless Treasures Basketball. I've been saying I'm going to talk about this set for a while now, but finally going to talk about it. Finally came out. It looks actually pretty nice. It's got a fairly large checklist. I'm not exactly sure if it's worth the money for the tin, but if you're a basketball card collector, you certainly want to add Timeless Treasures to the end of your searches on the forums and on eBay and online, and check out my cards and all the places you can buy cards and stuff. You definitely want to check out some of the cards, and so we'll talk about some of the cards in there and some of those things. And 2010 Prestige Football, say what you want about the design, it's the only 2010 set licensed, at least by the NFL, I think, that's out right now. Kind of has its spot on its own. So collectors definitely eating up the Tim Tebow's in there, and all the good rookies and Sam Bradford's and Toby Gerhardt's and all the guys in there. So, but speaking of football, we actually busted our 2007 Donruss Reds. I finally got my cord. I've been waiting on a cord for my camera, and when I got it, it didn't fit in the little section. I needed to plug the camera in. I've got two batteries for my camera, but they're old, and as most of you probably know, the longer you keep batteries around, the less they keep their charge. And for a 10-minute video, I don't think either of them could do it. So I need to have the camera plugged in the entire time. Well, actually, for our last box break for Panini Classics Basketball, I went to Radio Shack to go buy the cord for the camera. It was like $40. And I was thinking, wow, that's kind of expensive. So I bought it. I made sure I could bring it back if it didn't work. And they said, yeah. Well, it worked, but I didn't really feel like spending $40 considering I went online and got the exact same thing for $3. And I finally got it today, but it didn't fit. But it happens that it actually was the right cord, but I think the camera maker made the fitting smaller. So you had to buy one of like Kodak's, you know, DC. They made you think that you have to buy one of their DC power cords, when in actuality I just had to break out the knife and kind of cut around the camera. Obviously camera's not worth anything on the secondary market at this point, but it actually works pretty good. And slid the cord in there and it works, and we busted our 2007 Donruss Reds. That's a mouthful. Box break, that was like only $2 to get in. We had like, I think, about 8 or 9 people participate, maybe more than that, but right around there. So that was great. Some people even jumped in and got multiple teams. The Cornwell family has continued their sensational run of getting like the best hit out of the box. They got a Peyton Manning jersey card, so that was cool. So you can check out that video whether you were participating or not. Check out the video either on our website, or you can find it on YouTube as well if you find my YouTube page, and you can find all that on Sports Card Radio as well. So that was pretty cool, and we're definitely going to keep doing those. We'll definitely have more box breaks on the free side, absolutely free, and then some that are virtually free where it's like $2. And really the only reason why I do that is to kind of speed up and to simplify the shipping process. It's actually easier if I just get some kind of money on PayPal and I can ship it to you. And it works out to be about $1.70 to $2, although I will be shipping out these cards with some other cards that I still have. If you are uncertain, if you think you've won something from our contest, you can always go to our fan forum, sportscardradio.com/forum, and find the contest thread, and right on a sticky on the top of the contest thread there will be a prize closet, and I've done my best, I think it's pretty accurate, listed every card anybody's won from us or we've done in a group break there, and whether or not it's shipped. So you'll be able to find out any card that you want, and you can hold them there if you want to reduce the environmental impact, or you can request for delivery anytime there as well. So, or you can send me an email, and that's fine as well, and I will always ship them to you. But so that's pretty cool. Donruss threads, pretty cool, but we'll definitely do more box breaks where I charge you basically for shipping, and maybe slightly above. If we do like $120 box, $140 box, maybe it'll be like a $5 break or something, you know, but definitely less than what it normally would cost you. And you know, I'll just take, in normally in football, I'll definitely always take the Bengals, considering I'm a Bengals fan. And I actually, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last show, but I picked up one of my first Bengal cards I've probably bought in a long time, I would say several years. Picked up a Michael Johnson. He's actually a defensive player. Not that I preach picking up defensive players, but I really like him. He's 6'7". I think he's going to have a tremendous impact. He played defensive end last year, and they're thinking about switching him to a linebacker. So I picked up it was a 2009 like SP Upper Deck SP thread, something like that. It's like a Letterman autograph patch of his that he autographed, and it's serial numbered like 2 of 9 or something. I think it was like $475. Total shipped on eBay, so I was very pleased with that. One of the first pickups I've ever gotten, but definitely in the football box breaks, I'll scoop the Bengals. With the basketball, I know that the Lakers are a fairly desirable pick, and if you take those out of box breaks, it might end it for a lot of people. So I might give up the Lakers, but I'll, you know, do these box breaks definitely in the future, where you know, we'll do a couple bucks. And I'll take all the teams that don't get picked, and any of the good teams or any team that you want, you'll definitely be able to have for a very small price. And you can send in me the money on PayPal or cash. I had somebody that actually was very nice, sent me some cards too. I love it. So I really appreciate that. Anytime that happens, definitely improved my personal collection, which I'm definitely looking to stack up and get more cards in, so we'll see what happens. Didn't get anything great in the thread, so be on the lookout. We'll figure out a way to give out some of those cards as well. In fact, if I got any, in fact, watch the video and check out the thread of the teams that are picked, and any team that wasn't picked, if you see some cards in there that you want, just let me know and I'll throw them in your prize closet over on the fan forum as well. There wasn't anything in particular. I don't even remember really getting any Bengals players, so maybe one or two. So nothing very exciting, to say the least, for me, but definitely a nice Peyton Manning jersey card. And there was a couple other nice cards in there, but, you know, for a mid-price, actually a really low price, but I think it cost me about $60-something for the box. Not necessarily the most expensive box in the world, so you can't expect everything, but you can expect a lot from this next interview, and even the music is requested. I'm really pleased with this interview. I think it turned out really good, and I encourage you not just to listen to the interview, but check out Chris's podcast, check out what they're doing. I'm even in their box break not to give away too much about the interview, but we talk about a box breaks that they do over on his site and for his podcast. And I even jumped in. They're going to have one here coming up pretty soon. I locked in the Bengals. So hopefully some of our listeners too, maybe if one of your favorite teams are available, we'll have the details during the interview too, how to get involved. But after this very short break, our interview with Chris, and after that, we'll be talking about 2010 Bowman baseball, one of the more most hyped Bowman baseball sets I can remember in a long time. So we'll talk about that and much more after this. Actually joined today by Chris from the Football Card Collector Podcast. How you doing today, Chris?
I'm not too bad, Colin. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I was just talking to you about living in Michigan and how bitterly cold it is there. I'm not exactly sure how you put up with it, but you said you had shorts on today. I found that very interesting.
It's low 50s, and I got my shorts on, and I'm sweating, so it's a nice day.
I love it. Well, let's jump right into things, and let's talk about your collection and maybe how you got started collecting sports cards, and then we'll talk about your podcast and your website and just let everybody know about things you're doing.
Well, as far as the collection goes, I got started back in 1988, 1988 Topps football card set.
Okay.
I was a big fan of that, and I collected mostly like the Topps sets, and I did trading, you know, through like the pro set years. And then some guy named Favre, you know, got traded to Green Bay, and kind of turned my life around. So since about 92, 93, I've been collecting nothing but Favre. So.
Okay. And is that, do you collect, you try to stay current with Brett Favre, or are you trying to collect a lot of his middle year stuff? What's your Favre collection like?
Anything and everything. If I don't have it, I want it. I had at one point 1,950 different Favres and ran into some money trouble, and I ended up selling the entire collection.
Oh, wow.
About 18 months ago, I got bored, and I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to start collecting again. 18 months later, I'm back up to 1,770 some. So,
oh my
God, I've been moving quick.
Wow. Well, you said you told your wife, or you so you're married?
Yeah, I'm married. I have three kids. And
oh wow.
Yeah, I sold the collection because we ran into some severe money trouble.
Right.
And we needed money quick, so I ended up selling the entire collection. Got quite a few grand for it.
Wow.
And, then I was bored. I had nothing to do, and I said to her, I said, you're going to be mad at me, but I think I'm going to start collecting again. She says, so what are you going to do? I said, Favre's again. She kind of rolled her eyes and said, okay. So I've been getting about 100 new cards a month for about 18 months now, and worth about $13,000 if you go book value right now. So I've been getting everything and anything I can that I can afford and trading a lot on Beckett.
Well, bless your wife. She sounds very, very understanding. 18 months, and you're already, it sounds like you're already back to the heights of the Brett Favre collection. That sounds awesome. Do you collect mostly cards, or do you dabble with some memorabilia pieces and things like that?
Well, I don't collect just, you know, like jerseys, per se. I use, uh-huh. I collect, you know, the jersey cards, the autograph cards. I got a couple of the printing plates. Actually, I got two printing plates for the same card, which I found unique. And I mostly stick to the cards, but I got several of the starting lineup figures. I have the McFarlane figures from the Sports Pick series. I even have some of the menus from the Brett Favre Steakhouse in Green Bay.
So. There you go.
Yep.
And what are your thoughts about Brett? I know that I've heard, like, the typical rumors with Brett. He's not exactly sure what's happening next year. What are your thoughts on Brett in terms of playing football next year, too?
No doubt in my mind he's coming back. I've told all my friends this will be 3 years in a row he's coming back. Nobody believing me the first 2 years, and, well, they're starting to believe me now, so.
Yeah, I mean, based on the way he's played, I mean, I think there's a lot of teams in the NFL, if they don't already have an established quarterback, they certainly would welcome Brett, I think, with open arms. And I tend to agree with you. I think once August rolls around, Brett will be itching to get off the couch and play a little football, it sounds like.
Well, the only problem we have right now is Childy there. Brad Childress made the mistake of saying that Brett Favre can come whenever Brett Favre wants to come. That's was probably the dumbest move ever made by a coach, but it's going to work out, I think, in the end. So.
Right, I think so, and it. I kind of like Minnesota's draft pick of Toby Gerhart. I think they can they'll be able to run the ball well here next year, early next year. And if Brett decides 4 games in that he's ready to come back, then maybe he'll wait that long. I'm not sure.
But well, I think about the first preseason game, we're gonna see him walk in the door there. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure training camp he'll string it out through training camp, but once that's over, I think we'll see number four walk through the door. Well, Chris, let's talk about your podcast. I actually stumbled across your podcast. I forget what I was doing. I think I was looking on my iTunes, and I saw that subscribers of my podcast also subscribe to the Football Card Collector podcast, and I wanted to check it out and bring you on the show, and maybe let everybody know about what you've been doing. You've been doing it fairly regularly here, and it sounds like you have an excellent collection. So you probably have some great advice. Maybe tell everybody what kind of things you do on the show.
Well, I try to make it as community friendly as possible. I try to have people submit collector stories. You know how they got some of their cards. We do our group breaks once every other month now, in which we have participants from the show, you know, that listen to the show, as well as like off of Beckett and any other forum, and we all get together and we break about $400 to $500 worth of product, and we divvy it up, and it's really fun. And we I talk about the news, the hobby news as it relates to the football card side of things, rather than try to pretend that I know something about recent baseball or hockey or basketball.
kind of like I do. I kind of pretend that I know about those sports, or kind of all of them.
Yeah. I thought at the beginning, I didn't even know your show existed, and your show had apparently been around for about a year, and I started doing it, and I got about 4 episodes in, and I realized that you were doing it, and I actually came on the air because in the first episode, I think I proclaimed that, I didn't think there was another podcast for cards out there. And so on the fourth episode, I think I had to correct myself. I said, oh, guys, you know what? I screwed up. There's another one out there.
So, well, we're definitely a small breed, but
yes.
I encourage it because it's one of those things. I think you can't have too many things. Too many people talking about cards, and especially football cards. I bet you're excited because there's actually going to be a lot of football cards next year, I think, because you're going to have Topps in there, you're going to have Panini, and even Upper Deck has really made it clear that they're going to make football cards next year. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, Upper Deck's going to have the NCAA license, and so they're going to be making, like, Sweet Spot. I hear SP Authentic might be coming into the mix.
Yeah, definitely. SP Authentic is definitely in the mix, I heard.
And I'm hoping that they do something with Ultimate, maybe even Exquisite, but we'll have to wait and see on that if they can even afford it at this point. As far as the Panini goes, I was a bit disappointed when it looked as if it was only going to be Panini. I have no problem with Panini itself, but I like a little bit of variety, and it seems to me that a lot of the Panini sets are basically the same set with just a slightly different design.
Right.
And a few different sprinkles in the insert department. So when it was rumored that the NFL was giving an invitation back to Topps to come back and negotiate, I was kind of excited and, you know, kind of did a little, you know, jump for joy when Topps officially signed, and so we're going to get their product back again, so...
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time for football collectors. I think Topps is going to produce the sets we're definitely familiar with, and hopefully, like you said, sprinkle in some new surprises, and hopefully it will push Panini to maybe push the envelope a little harder than they did their first year under a new branding, I guess. So we'll see what happens. But you also mentioned your box breaks. Maybe let collectors know a little bit. I think you have one that you're running now, is that correct?
Yes, we do. A friend of mine, Hans Klein, every other month we are doing a group break, and we're starting small. We're doing 16 participants, and each person will choose a team and then have a team assigned to them randomly.
Okay.
And for the first time we did a $30 box break of $3 per person, and which after shipping costs came to like $430 worth of product. And we opened 2009 Bowman Sterling, SP Authentic, Topps Unique, and SP Signature, and we had a lot of fun, a lot of success. Some, you know, we had a couple of really nice pulls out of it, and so everyone was kind of excited to do it again. A couple people did back out, so we're out promoting and hoping to get some new people on board, and eventually we're hoping that we'll be able to go to 32 participants throughout for the group break, and, you know, have a lot of fun that way, open a lot of packs, boxes, and, you know, it'll be fun.
Oh, that sounds actually like a lot of fun. I know that I'm definitely interested. I know that we have definitely quite a few listeners that do those kind of things as well. Is there a website they can go to kind of check
yes,
all that out?
My website is www.christopherchapman.com, and when you go to that page, you'll see three different icons on the page. You select the middle one, which is the icon for my show, the Football Card Collector Podcast, and there's information on there as far as what teams are taken in the group break and all kinds of different stuff for the show. So.
Sounds good. We'll definitely get a link to that up on sportscardradio.com as well. On the right-hand side, you'll be able to find a link to Chris's website. Be able to find his podcast, his box breaks, and all those kind of things. Well, Chris, I really appreciate you joining us. Hopefully everybody's going to go out and check your podcast. It's now that you're rolling right into football season. It's going to be, I think you're going to have lots of great shows to talk about lots of good things. You got any early predictions for us, either team-wise or rookie-wise? Any words of wisdom for our fans out there?
Football team-wise goes, I'm really fearing the Jets and the Baltimore Ravens this year.
Okay.
Those are two teams I think that we're all going to be talking a little bit about come late season with the pickups that they had. I think we might see a little revival in LaDainian Tomlinson and the weapons that the Jets added. And Anquan Boldin on the Ravens, I can't say enough nice things about Anquan Boldin. I think he was underrated just because he had Larry Fitzgerald, you know, starting opposite of him. So I think those two teams are going to be something to talk about, you know, later this year. I think a few nice rookies to look out for. You know, I think Jimmy Clausen is going to win the job in Carolina, and we'll be talking about him. And I think that Ndamukong Suh is going to be a nice force in Detroit.
Yep.
So, just a few thoughts.
Sounds good, Chris. Well, I appreciate you bringing everything that you have today onto the show. And I hope everybody checks out your podcast and your website, and definitely get involved in your box breaks and everything you got going on.
Well, thank you for having me. and I hope to get you on my show before too long.
Oh, definitely. Anytime. Anytime. Just let me know, and definitely get on there, too. So definitely, anytime you need any help, you know, you can let us know.
All right. Well, thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Chris. About 2010 Bowman baseball. Wow, it's actually been very hot. I've been hearing a lot about Bowman baseball, and Topps actually did a nice job at adding Starlin Castro to the set, and obviously Steven Strasburg and Aroldis Chapman were in the set, but they also added Jason Hayward was a late add, so they added some players right at the end that kind of made some news in the MLB, and props to them, they even added Starlin Castro really before he was even had his call up to the Cubs and had his, I guess, home run and three RBIs or whatever he, you know, he did that first couple games. Of course, if you remember, back on show number 46, we talked about Jason Hayward, Starlin Castro, Steven Strasburg, all these guys before the baseball season even started, I think. So you would have had a heads up if you had just purchased some of those guys. You definitely would have had a heads up, and there's definitely more guys on that list. If you go back to show number 46, you don't necessarily have to listen to it. Actually, if you go to our website, sportscardradio.com, and find the Sports Card Show archive on the left hand side, go down to show number 46. And I actually did a good job describing that show. I have all the prospects that we talk about, and some of their key rookie cards and a picture. So you'll be able to get a sense of, you know, hey, we talked about Jason Hayward. Hey, we talked about Starlin Castro. We talked about Steven Strasburg. We talked about a lot of these guys that are playing pretty well now. Well, there's obviously more on that list. You know, there's Carlos Santana jumps off to the top of my head. And there's a couple other guys on there that are definitely ready to pop too. There's always waves of this in the MLB, and Starlin Castro and Jason Hayward are only the early guys. And you know, I can't tell you how many baseball prospects have started out hot just like Starlin Castro and Jason Hayward have, and by the end of the season, man, it's tough to keep the pace, although Jason Hayward looks like he might have the ability to do that. Although at the end of the season, Jason Hayward's going to be probably in every Topps product here on out. So his autographs are going to be more plentiful, and his lower serial numbered stuff and jersey cards and things like that. So it tends to dilute the price just a little bit, even if he does play well. But still, nice collectible piece, not to discourage anybody from collecting Jason Hayward. The way he's hitting the ball and the way he looks at the plate, and it looks like his body might even develop even more. Boy, I tell you what, he's a tremendous prospect. I wish he was on the Giants. And I'm sure every other team wishes he was a prospect on their team. So good for you, Braves fans. You definitely have a solid player there. But to get back to 2010 Bowman, I actually got an email. Actually, two, I think. I give this a 2.5-star overall grade. And that's not to say that it's a 2.5-star product and it's not any good. It's really meant as kind of a collector profile rating, is saying as a 5-star rating would fit any baseball collector, that just about any baseball collector would one, have value spending his or her money on a product like this and enjoy opening it and get all the kind of cards he or she would kind of expect from a product. Well, this, you don't get a lot of Hall of Fame stuff. You don't get a tremendous amount of jersey cards, although there are jersey cards in here. And the autographs are only of prospect cards that tend to not, most of them aren't in the MLB, although Jason Hayward and Starlin Castro obviously are, and Steven Strasburg's well on his way. So it's a little bit different kind of product. So in that sense, it's never going to be a five-star product. And also, you got to be careful. There is a lot of hype around some of these cards. And sure, the Jason Hayward is going to be worth a lot of money, and the Steven Strasburg, and even the Austin Jackson, and some of these other guys that maybe even I'm not that familiar with. You know, there is some value here, but there are a lot of misses too. I can see a lot of configurations of one or three autograph pulls where you really wouldn't be very happy, especially the kind of money this stuff is going for. I have it listed here as under $75 a box, but I know that jumbo boxes are selling in the $120, $130 range. At least the last time I looked. Now let's take a look at the configuration. If you're buying this by the box, obviously if you're buying this by the single card collector profile ratings and anything out of the box doesn't mean a thing to you, because you're just going after the cards, and a set like this, it might be the thing to do. Hobby box, you're only going to get, I say only, it is a nice hit, you're going to get one Bowman Chrome autograph prospect card. So you're only going to get one, 24 packs, so that's a little tight, and obviously you get a lot of other things. There's Bowman Chrome prospect cards and things like that, but your biggest hit is really what you're paying the big money for, is that autograph card. Now the jumbo version will deliver three Bowman Chrome autograph prospects, so I think if you're the gambler and you like opening boxes and you want to open up some of this stuff and you want the thrill of hitting the Castro or hitting the you know, the Hayward or the Strasburg or some of the jersey cards and things like that, I think the jumbo box is for you. You might as well spend the extra money and hit the jumbo box. So I like jumbo boxes much better here. By the box, obviously by the single card, like we said, doesn't mean anything. Now retail people, you're not left out. We talked about the hobby box and the hobby jumbo box. Retail have their own retail pack only autographs. So if you're trying to complete the whole set, you're going to be stuck either busting a lot of retail boxes and packs, or you're going to have to hunt them down online and on forums and things like that. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Although the names out of there, Donovan Tate is the one that I recognize, and there's a handful of other, Tony Sanchez, Dusty Coleman. So there's some guys in there. But the main prospects you're looking for is Steven Strasburg, Jason Hayward, Austin Jackson's a nice one in there, although he has an elite autograph from several years ago. And so does Hayward, and so does many. Steven Strasburg has a lot of USA stuff. So that's stuff you want to keep in mind here. You know, this is the first time they've been on Bowman, but I know for a fact Steven Strasburg has really nice upper deck stuff. Austin Jackson has other Bowman stuff. Jason Hayward even has other Bowman stuff. It's not autographed, but he already has a Bowman rookie card. So those are the kind of things you want to keep in mind. Starlin Castro doesn't have an autograph, but his 2009 Bowman rookies and Bowman Chrome rookies do sell quite well. But this is your first chance to get an autograph. So it is special for some of these players. But then again, Steven Strasburg, Jason Hayward, for the most part, it really was. Starlin Castro was one of the more exclusive players in here that really didn't have an autograph before this. All these other guys you're going to be able to find in other years, previous years. There's a little bit of hype going on there, I think, because most of these players have already had cards. But 2010 Bowman does a nice job of kind of presenting it in the way that, you know, MLB wants it presented. A lot of these guys need to see time. So we're getting the first true rookies of Jason Hayward and some of these guys. And I even see Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner having their rookie card logos included here. So it's kind of special. If you're you know, an Austin Jackson fan, or, you know, like we said, Madison Bumgarner, Buster Posey fans, this is your first chance to get it with that rookie logo, and in some cases, the first time you see it with Bowman. And again, it's the first time we see Bowman this year, and I can imagine once Bowman Chrome comes out, Topps Chrome actually looks pretty good. If you want to take a look at that early checklist, that's on our website as well. Topps Chrome looks pretty good. I think in a couple months, you know, obviously by the time Bowman Chrome comes out, the hype around Bowman will die down a little bit. And boxes, I think, will be a little bit more affordable. So if you don't want to get wrapped up in the hype, this is one of those sets where Topps does produce quite a bit of it, because it is low. You know, hobby boxes only have that one autograph. So you can imagine how many hobby boxes are floating around out there. And you can imagine how many jumbo boxes. Although the jumbo boxes, I will say, will dry up faster than the hobby boxes. You know, you might not want to get wrapped up in the hype here. I'm sure packs at your hobby store are quite expensive. But then again, I said it on the last show, it's really tough with this Topps product because they're the only game in town. And we've seen it with Topps Series 1 and Topps Heritage and Topps Finest. All those are selling very well. We didn't see the price dump that typically happens in those sets, especially Topps Series 1 and even Finest in years past, maybe not last year, but definitely in years past, has gone down in price tremendous amounts of money. In fact, that's how I made my money back several years ago, was selling a lot of Topps Finest product because it would drop in price tremendously. We'll see what happens. It's not happening quite as much this year. And as you can imagine, because there's no Upper Deck making cards and Panini's not doing baseball, for some reason they're revolving around football. Maybe the MLB lawyers are scaring them enough, or the nature of the contract that they have and the ability to hold those things true. We'll see what happens. But, you know, my call on Bowman is it's a big hype train right now. It's not exactly probably the best opportunity for you box break wise, I think, for Topps products this year. I think you might want to wait for other products, but definitely single card releases, just about any release across all sports, but definitely in baseball prospect wise, if you're looking for young players, guys that haven't maybe even known by air. I mean, Jason Hayward is still somebody younger people could mention to their parents or just non-casual baseball fans. They're probably not going to know who they are. He's not a Derek Jeter yet. He's not, you know, even like a Mickey Mantle, and obviously not any of those guys yet. So he's not known by everybody. Alex Rodriguez is known by almost everybody, even non-baseball fans. So he's not quite at that stratosphere, although not many baseball players are. Albert Pujols, I would say, is in that category. So we'll see what happens with his career. It's going to be interesting to follow along with all these other guys. But be careful with Bowman, especially buying it by the pack and by the box. I think you'd be much better off spending the $70 on the Castro, the Strasburg, or the Hayward, which is exactly, you're looking to hit one of those four. I'd much rather you spend the $120 or the 75 to 120 it takes to buy a box of this stuff. You might as well buy one of the four top hits around that price and go that route. And I think you might be better off that way instead of just ripping it by the box. But definitely take a look at some of the other cards in here. Obviously, if you're buying it by the set, you're looking to complete the set and things like that, all those things factor in on whether or not you've got to bust this stuff by the box. But for the most part, I think the price on it is pretty hefty. You might as well just jump in there and buy the single cards because there's a lot of them in here. In terms of the insert sets, 1992 throwback, if you're my age, you're going to recognize that old border. In fact, this 2010 Bowman might be as hot as 1992 Bowman. So it's fitting that those are in there. So you'll see some throwbacks, Steven Strasburg's in there and a couple other players. Topps 100 prospects. That's a pretty cool set. If you want like a Topps opinion of the top 100 prospects, that's pretty cool. Obviously, Strasburg and Chapman and Hayward and all those guys are in there. So that's pretty cool. There's some dual cards in there. You'll see Hayward with Chipper Jones. USA Baseball is pretty cool. You'll see some high school and college talent here, and you'll see some future stars here. So USA Baseball's that insert set's worth checking out as well. Well, that about wraps it up for Bowman. Pretty cool set. I like it. I'm going to hold with my rating despite some of the comments and stuff. And I actually did, for all full disclosure, I did put that rating out before the final checklist came out with Hayward and Castro, but I'm still going to hold it. I'm still calling this at the end of this baseball product run out. You know, right now we've got Chickle, we've got Finest, we've got Top Series 1, and maybe one other one, and we've got Bowman, and we've got Top Series 2 coming out here in a couple weeks. After Triple Threads and after Topps Chrome, Topps T206, Topps Allen and Ginter, I'm sure there'll be a handful of other new things and interesting sets from Topps that we're accustomed to. I'm still calling this a 2.5-star product, 3-star product, right in that range, compared to the rest of those releases. Even though this is a 5-star product in terms of the hype it's getting and in terms of some of the talent that's in here, the Strasburg, the Chapmans, the Haywards, Austin Jackson, Starlin Castro, Donovan Tate, some of the handful of other players that are in here. That's 5-star talent, and those are 5-star cards, but then again, it's not like it's a 10-pack product where you're getting 4 hits or 5 hits a box. You're really getting the 1 hit, and once the jumbo boxes dry up, those are going to be tough to come by. It's going to be tough to come by the 3 hit per box boxes. So we'll see what happens here. Love the single cards. Love that Topps stepped it up and included some really hot guys right at the end and probably had to jam some deadlines in order to get Hayward in here and Castro and some of these other guys. And I even have pictures of Jason Hayward and Steven Strasburg signing via Topps Twitter. They do a good job of sometimes tweeting pictures of guys signing cards. So I have those on there too if you're interested in finding the full checklist and finding out a little bit more about Bowman Baseball. Head on over to sportscardradio.com, find the product reviews either on our top menu or in the sports card directory, and you'll find 2010 Bowman there. Or just do a search in Google for 2010 Bowman Baseball and we'll show up as well there. So that about wraps it up for Bowman Baseball. After this short break, Panini Timeless Treasures Basketball. I kind of like this product. Not for $100 a tin, but I will say that I think it's a good effort on Panini, and we'll talk about it after this. She said, I don't know if I've ever been good enough. I'm a little bit rusty and I think my head is caving in. And I don't know if I've ever been really loved by a hand that's touched me, and I feel like something's gonna give. And I'm a little bit angry. Oh well, this ain't over. No, not here. Not while I still need you around. You don't hold me. We're not changing. Yeah, we just might feel good. I wanna push you around. Well, I will. Well, I will. I wanna push you. Back throwback music. You're gonna notice lots of found a page. Sometimes I'm glad that Chris gave me the suggestion. He wanted Metallica around his segment, and that makes it a lot easier. Because sometimes I just get stumped. Well, I found a page where it has like the top 100 songs of the past decade or something. So you'll be hearing lots of more recognizable, probably more iconic songs, actually, that you probably remember very well, and probably the era in which they came out. So at least for a little while, makes it easier on me. Sometimes song titles and artists, when you're just doing a dead search for them, sometimes they all leave your mind at those times. Probably among other things that are probably very similar to that. Well, let's not let it happen here, because we're going to talk about Panini Timeless Treasures basketball. Interesting set here. Now, hardcore collectors are going to get on a product like this. One, it's probably slightly overpriced because it is loaded up with quite a bit of names here, and I could see how a configuration could come down where $100 might leave you with maybe like $10 to $20 worth of cards, maybe $15, $30 worth of cards, somewhere in that range, you know, on the secondary market. Now, it's not Panini's job to really judge that. The NBA kind of does that, where they really showcase Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and a handful of other players, and that's it. It's like you don't even know anybody else who plays. It's kind of the NBA's fault. But this does have some nice legendary stuff. I like a product like this because Panini's really blending everything here. You've got nice rookies. You've got nice use of veterans like Kobe and Carmelo. And then you've got nice mix of veterans. And then this is also, this checklist, literally, if you go to this, I actually would appreciate if you went to our product previews and checked out, if you're a basketball fan, obviously, and checked out the Timeless Treasures preview. This actually took me at least a whole day. This checklist is massive. So I can imagine, because there's going to be a lot of this product out here because this checklist is so massive, and you only get one pack and you only get five cards per pack. So, and it's a huge checklist. So you can imagine there's going to be a lot of this Timeless Treasures tins around there out there. So price will fluctuate. Their SRP was 100. I've seen it sell in the $70 to $80 range. I think that's where it'll be a comfortable price. I think it'll fly out the door if it was like a $65, $60 price range. I don't know if that's profitable for Panini. But get back to what I was talking about with collectors. Now, there's some stickers in here. Not every jersey autograph is prime, although there's some nice NBA Logo Man stuff in here. For the first time, I see a lot of, there's like at least a half dozen inserts and base card sets that have parallels where you can get NBA Logo Man. So it's nice to see those in there. There's more laundry tags, more prime signatures, more prime cuts on jerseys, I mean. So it's an interesting set in that standpoint, that you're seeing a little bit more of the prime jerseys, some more autographs. Definitely a deeper checklist in terms of depth of the amount of inserts in here. I mean, there's quite a few for each one. There's some quad jerseys. There's some dual autographs, things like that. So Panini mixed it up here. Kind of like it a little bit. Some of the, especially the NBA Apprentice, reminds me of National Treasures. The private signing cards are actually not necessarily on card, but they look like old Sweet Spot and old Sweet Shot products where they was signed on like basketballs. This actually looks like it's like a white basketball or white leather signed in like almost like ballpoint pen. I have a picture of a Bill Walton on here. And there's Kobe Bryant in this checklist. Scottie Pippen is in this checklist, who we've actually talked about doesn't sign much. Panini's gotten him to sign. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Jerry West, Dennis Rodman. Lots of guys are in here. Bob Cousy, Chris Bosh. So those are kind of interesting. I have a picture of a championship material NBA logo of Rajon Rondo. It is a sticker autograph, and some people would complain about that. I know people complained about the sticker placement, and you can see it on this Rajon Rondo. It's placed right over. He has a dark colored jersey on, and it's placed right over the basketball, and it's very, you can really just see the R of his signature, and that's about it. Obviously, it's not a full-size photo, and obviously, if you have the card right in front of you, it's a lot different. You can see the signature a lot better. Even if you have a great scanner and a great picture, it's not like seeing that card in person. So I will give Panini the break there, but it looks like they could have moved that sticker down just a quarter of an inch, or about a half inch down to the left, and diagonally a little bit, and it would have been perfect. You would have been able to see much more of the autograph. So I agree that autograph sticker placement wasn't the best, but sometimes they're at the mercy of already having the sticker and maybe designing the cards and not really keeping those kind of things in mind. So we'll see if they get back to that, and maybe think about that. Some of these do look like their material ink was laid out pretty well. Home and Road Gamers, those are pretty cool. It'll give you both pieces of their home and road jerseys. Rookie of the Year materials, although I don't have any confirmation on this, I think this comes from guys' rookie years, and they have Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, LeBron James, Deron Williams, Shaq. So some interesting players there. Again, lots of logo man stuff. So again, you might want to take a look if you're definitely if you're a basketball collector, I strongly encourage you to take a look at this. And I say sticker autographs. I really don't have a problem with sticker autographs. One, because younger kids and younger collectors and collectors that aren't as discriminating as guys that are maybe have quite an opinion on this kind of stuff, they don't care about sticker autographs. A 10-year-old, 5-year-old, trust me, if they get a Magic Johnson or any kind of autograph, they don't care. They just love that it's an autograph card. So I think that's where a lot of the hobby has been lost. You've lost a lot of the younger collectors. You've lost a lot of the kind of casual collectors. So I don't think they care about stickers. And plus, it makes this a $100 product because there is some on-card autograph. I think if this was all on-card, I think Panini would have had to charge $150 for a product like this. And people would have been complaining even more. So I think the stickers keep the price down. I know Panini says SRP 100, but that's more of a courtesy to hobby dealers, and that's more of a courtesy to people that sell this stuff. It's to set a very high price on, and to set a like 40%, 30% markup, where they know that the price could comfortably come down to the $80, $85 range. And the people that buy it in large quantities are still making money at that price. The $100 SRP is what everybody dreams of getting for any product. If you're getting SRP or above for a product as a hobby store owner or online or anywhere, you're loving it. You're trying to buy cases of that product because SRP is a product, is a price point where you do make money under almost all circumstances. So, be careful when, you complain about a product's SRP. It's really the company's job to do a courtesy for hobby shop owners and retailers online, people that's job is to sell this stuff. They want that high SRP, so that SRP gets in the mind of consumers, and so you think of this as a $100 product where they could put any SRP. They could put $65 SRP on this product, and there'd be people that are thinking that it really should be $40 SRP, things like that. Although you do get three autographs. I don't know if I covered this, but you get the one pack, you get five cards, you're going to get three autographs or memorabilia cards and at least one autograph. So you're getting the one hit for the $100, but then again, it is selling in that $80 range, maybe slightly less, slightly more, depending on where you're at. So we're checking out. Definitely check out Add Timeless Treasures to your search. Definitely come check our checklist out. There's a huge amount of cards here, and there's a huge amount of inserts in here for a Panini set. I'm not saying that this is one of the most massive basketball checklists I've seen. It's certainly not, but it's definitely massive in terms of the checklist I've put up for Panini this year. It's definitely right up there with their future release, which I believe is next week if it hasn't gotten pushed back, and that's Absolute Memorabilia Basketball. So to tease that, we'll talk about that, but I definitely think this is worth taking a look at. Well, after this short break, enough of basketball. Even though we're right in the heart of playoff time, my voice is getting a little scratchy right now. I need to get a sip of water, so we'll wrap it up here about basketball. On the next segment, we'll be talking about 2010 Prestige Football. And we'll talk about that set, all the rookies and all the cards there that you can find after this. Football, another set collectors have been kind of hard on in terms of just how the cards look, and some of the things, some of the sticker autographs and things like that, although I'm not sure all that really matters, because people still buying it, I guess, but in the end it would be nice. I must say I'm no Photoshop expert, I'm no design expert, but I gotta believe that you really could do slightly better than that. I'm pretty sure I could do slightly better than that. And I think I'm just looking at kind of the rookie cards, and even the 2007 Donruss. This was when 2007, I think, was maybe pre-Panini. Some nice cards, some nice insert came out of there. I wasn't overly impressed with the base cards. I think they were a little white, and they were a little too much white on the I'm speaking of 07 Donruss threads. But there was some nice inserts in there. That were kind of mirrored some old Donruss products, but some nice stuff in there. Prestige, I think, is a good early product. It's not meant to be high end. This is meant to kind of get, 2010 football cards into collectors. I remember this was always a really popular set with collectors. And I think sports card companies kind of tend to make this as a strategy. A, they know everybody's going to be buying, any diehard collector, any halfway competent collector, I guess I could say even, is going to be buying 2010 football cards. You know, they're going to be buying the stuff right in the beginning. A, because there really isn't that much out there. And B, because there's a lot of, like, all the hot rookies in there, because none of them have played, and none of them have messed up, and none of them have become Jamarcus Russell. Not to pick on him. But, you know, so they come out with their cheaper products and their more inexpensive products right in the beginning because they know they're going to sell. Whether people like the design of them or whether they have stickers or on cards, they know they're going to sell, and they know they're going to stand out in amongst the products because there really isn't anything to compete against. Whereas at the end of the year, a set like Prestige, if they have National Treasures out and they have all these other really nice sets, Contenders, and all the other sets that come out, nobody's going to buy this. Once Classics and Elite and things like that comes out, that it's a fairly similar configuration to this set, not too many people are going to be buying Prestige anymore, at least at the full price. So I think this is, people got to realize that companies do have to make money on product. And although I think they could do a maybe slightly better job designing these cards, they all look fairly blasé in terms of the design and the way they were put together. But You know, still, we're looking at some of the newest 2010 cards. So, as a if you're selling this stuff, you're probably making money on it. And, you know, if you hit one of the Tim Tebows or the Sam Bradfords, the C.J. Spillers, Jimmy Clausens, there's a lot of fairly large names that you could hit some of these college Lettermans. There's some college Letterman autographs in here that actually look pretty nice. I think those might be the nicest cards in the whole set is the college Letterman cards. There's Jimmy Clausen, Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow, Toby Gerhart, C.J. Spiller, Dez Bryant, Golden Tate. Some of those guys that I mentioned right at the top there, those are big hits, and those are nice. But then again, there's quite a few other guys. You know, even someone like Jermaine Gresham, someone I'm pumped up for, and Bengals fans are pumped up for. You know, his rookie card is definitely not going to sell for as much as even Jimmy Clausen's, and definitely not as much as C.J. Spiller and somebody like that. So even when you're getting down to like the 10th best rookie, you're not looking at a huge value for an auto letter patch or an autograph patch. So again, you know, I use the same caution with this pretty much with all our sets that we talked about today. You want to be careful about buying this by the box. Again, this podcast is not meant to tell you how to spend your money or tell you how to run your collection. If you want to bust boxes, bust whatever the heck you want. You know what I mean? I spent $60 on a Threads box that really wasn't great. It really wasn't that bad. The Peyton Manning jersey, definitely. I think, you know, anytime you get a Peyton Manning jersey out of a box, that's pretty cool. But, you know, spend your money however you want. But be careful buying boxes, you know, especially if you want to watch your money. That's really the only perspective I do give on this show, is if you want to try to save money or try to spend your money as wisely as possible or really as cautiously as possible, you want to avoid these early sets that are really more of kind of a cash grab by the companies so they can probably really fund some of the rest of the season and some of maybe the other things that they have going on in football. Not that they need like money, but it's nice to have cash. Any business, even like Google and big companies like that, they always talk about cash flow and what's the next thing to kind of bring in that regular cash. And sets like this are kind of, you know, prestige version of like Google AdSense. It's, you know, not necessarily, obviously not to that strength and that kind of cash money flow, but something like a set like this is, where you're looking at thousands and thousands and thousands of cases of this going across not only hobby stores and online and things like that, but on at the Targets and places like that and the Walmart to be able to find a product like this by the pack and by the back blaster box. So nice little revenue stream. Hopefully they take it and maybe get some guys getting on Photoshop, upgrade to CS. I'm not really sure what they need to do, but I would definitely work on some of the graphics and things like that. I think the photos are fine. I think any photo of an athlete, you know, obviously some are more clear and more crisp than others, and some are more desirable in certain positions than others, and some athletes are even harder to get pictures of, but you know, the photo is not really the thing. I think the card stock and just the coloring and the way you present the card in terms of where you're putting the name and how you're presenting the logo of the product, those are all very important things, and if you kind of overdo certain things and maybe not pay as much attention to them, collectors do notice. So we'll see what happens going forward, but I know that there's a lot of criticism out there for Panini putting out products that tend to kind of look the same, feel the same year after year, time and time again, sport after sport. You know, prestige football, you know, we get the sense if we're looking at this 2010 prestige football checklist, we're almost looking at 2011 basketball prestige. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully not. Hopefully we see some more creativity and some more placements I think these rookies, man, this 2010 rookie class is really good. You could do a lot of things with these guys. I'd get Tim Tebow signing with John Elway. I'd get all these quarterbacks dual signing, Tim Tebow and Terrell Davis, just all kinds of dual kind of cuts and things like that. I think there's lots of creativity things you could do with all these rookies that you have. You're going to have tons of signatures. Even if it's sticker stuff, I encourage the companies to not shy away from sticker autographs. Trust me, I'd much rather get a product that, you know, the standard products these days, it's like four hits. I wouldn't mind that fifth hit being a sticker autograph. If, you know, one autograph's on card and one autograph's sticker, that's no problem with me. Or I even thought of this idea the other day. I would put the stickers in retail. I really think that Target and Walmart consumers, and Target and Walmart have a way of pushing product out the door, no matter really what it is. They have a way of either pushing it out there or then dumping it at the 99 cent. I saw a ton of packs that used to be selling at Target at the Dollar Tree the other day, and you might want to check that out in your city. I don't know how it is across the country, but there's dollar stores every fifth block here in California, at least where I live, because it is tough times, and there's, you know, obviously a lot of people here, so you have a lot of people that don't have a lot of money, so dollar stores tend to do very well here. But I noticed a lot of packs. I saw Prestige Basketball. I saw lots of 99 cent packs there at my Dollar Tree here. And if those are the kind of things you're into and you don't got it in your neck of the woods, shoot me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, and I'll just work it out to where I'll buy you the packs and ship them to you all at the 99 cent cost or whatever, and the, you know, whatever the small fee for shipping. So because you do save some money there. I know the packs at Walmart and Target tend to be $1.99, $2.99. So 99 cent for a pack is actually pretty good. So those are the kind of things you want to keep in mind. Again, this is a nice little cash grab for Panini, and we'll see what happens, see what they do with it. But hopefully we see some nice product, and people maybe get off their back about creating similar sets and similar design sets. We'll see if they take all of that criticism that they seem to be getting to heart. This product looks a little bit much like the same, but we'll see what happens when it comes out. And it's kind of one of those things. You got to get the cards in your hand and kind of see them in person or see really nice photos. A lot of these photos we see early are still just kind of stock photos and mocked up photos. You're not seeing the gloss on the card. You're not seeing the stock and how it is. If all that's the same and things like that, we'll see what happens and see how collectors really accept these kind of products. Because I know as hobby dealers, if you're buying Panini product and people stop buying it, and it goes down in price, and you know that's typically what happens when things don't sell. They have to go on down in price. I mean, that's just the natural. You learn that in any economics class. If it's not selling at one price, it's going to naturally come down. It has to come down, no matter how much the hobby stores and how much they try to fight off eBay dumping and things like that. It always has to come down. If it doesn't come down at the hobby store, somebody will dump it on eBay and things like that. So, and other places online. So if that keeps happening time and time again, hobby stores will not pre-order anything Panini because they know it will just come down in price. So they've got to watch that, and they've got to watch the opinion of people on their products and whether or not they're worth the SRP right in the beginning, or if they're just getting, you know, something they could just slip back and buy 2009 or 2010 threads or 2010 prestige now for less of a price than they were last year. So got to watch those kind of things, and as a collector, you got to be aware of them and watch what happens going forward. And we'll see if we can bring more of those things to you on the show. Well, speaking of the show, probably about wraps it up for today. Been long enough. Been talking enough about cards. Hopefully this has helped out your collection. Thanks again to Chris from the Football Card Collector Podcast. And you can find that again at ChristopherChapman.com, and you'll be able to find a link to that on the right-hand side. By the weekend, I've got some things going on the next few days. I might actually be getting a job, and I put that in quotes. The last job I had was actually, if you remember listening to the show, I actually had a sit-down job, and you know, I was there 8 to 5, I think, 8:30, 9 to 5, something like that. I mean, it was much longer than I really probably should have been, needed to be there, I guess I should say. So I decided that's not for me. I can't be on someone else's schedule. And I like doing other things and spending my time how I please. Now, obviously, you can't make a lot of money, tremendous amount of money doing that, but I do have a job hopefully lined up here, little side job. So we'll see if that works out. But I've got some things going on the next few days, but you'll definitely be able to find a link to his podcast and other all kinds of things on sportscardradio.com right there on the homepage. Although the homepage is not many people visit the homepage. It's definitely worth taking a look at because you'll be able to find all the things that are kind of inside our site. You'll be able to kind of go to our homepage and be able to delve into all the other things that are there for you to take a look at and hopefully help your collection out. Well, hopefully this show helps your collection out, and hopefully the Football Card Collector Podcast helps your collection out. That's a mouthful. And hopefully CardCornerClub.net helps your collection out. So you've got three podcasts to choose from. Those are the three that are live that are I know of. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting one and you want to come on the show to promote it, send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, or I'll probably find you and send you an email. And that's how I roll. Well, that's how we roll. We're out of here. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Good luck with your collection. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather outside, wherever you might be. Summer's coming. Hopefully you find a job like I'm trying to do. Hopefully, if you have a job, you get some vacation time, take some time off, buy some new cards, have some fun, with all the money that you've been working hard all year to save up. That about wraps it up. We're out of here.